Welcome to the Simon Parkes Connecting Consciousness Show on Wolf Spirit Radio. Simon actively encourages you to post your questions live to him in the chat room at wolfspiritradio.com/listen or call in on 0141-356-4141. Call in on 0141-356-4141. The next 2 hours will be full of debate, interview guests and up-to-date news. Please join Simon and play an active role. Connecting Consciousness Show. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio.
Ah, just on cue, there's the famous clock.
Bingity bungity. Hello.
JP. Hello, everybody. How are you, JP? Are you well?
I'm very well. It's the Scottish winter. It's the Scottish summer. Same thing. it's nice and grey outside, but it's all right. So I'm here with Pip the husky dog. If anybody hears this weird sort of strange language of dogness, Anubian. He speaks Anubian.
Yeah, you were saying that you've got this new dog.
Well, he's not my new dog. He's my girlfriend's dog, who's gone away for a week. She's left. She's dumped him on me. She's left me to babysit. It happens once every year, so I have to keep looking. He's all right though. He's okay once he's settled in, but he's just arrived, so he's a bit. Anyway, we have so many questions just pouring in. I just want to give a shout out to Pop Alexander, Marjorie over there in Tucson. In Arizona, she's gathering collecting all the questions for me and posting them into this chat room. I've got a whole other bunch that I got from emails that people sent to me, and you've no idea how many emails, different vectors. You know, I got about 5 emails, and I get questions on all of them, plus chat room questions and all this stuff. So we got plenty to talk about. I'd like to also ask if people. Try and be mindful that we are in a chat room situation. There's a lot of people who are tuning in. We want to give everybody a turn. So if you have questions, try not to ask questions that have been asked before. You know, do a bit of your research, because these are very precious times. And thus, being precious, let's get on with it. Simon, first of all, do you have any maintenance announcements that you'd like to make?
Maintenance, you mean repairing the electricity?
That would be a good one. Maybe we'll talk about that.
Just a few little updates. Well, first of all, I was very, very pleased. Yesterday, Saturday, we had our first Connecting Consciousness get-together, and that was held at someone's house, my very able web manager. We had 35 people, and I think the furthest traveller came from Spain. So they flew over. Wow. And these were all people who I have spoken to, people who have connected with me for assistance and help, and obviously got to know them personally. So what was so wonderful about this was that it didn't rain until the very end, so we were able to be out in the fabulous garden. And everybody, not so much knew everyone, but everybody realized that there was no judgment. Everyone had their own story, everyone had their own vision, but their overall vision was shared. So it made no matter whether their soul in their body was perhaps of a reptilian nature or whether it was of a Palladian nature, they all wanted the same thing, which is ultimately freedom for the human race, and just to actually get back on the track that we should be. So it was lovely for the 4 hours or so that we were together, where people could talk without anybody making a judgment on them. So we're going to be doing more of these, and we're going to try and, you know, at some point move them around the country a bit, so that it's easier for people who are travelling a distance. So that was the very first one, our very first Connecting Consciousness get together on a world scale. The Fed has decided not to raise interest rates, regardless of whatever you may be reading in the Wall Street Echo or whatever it's called. What they've done is they've been able to identify a number of people who hold what I would call real money, and that means money that's backed by something tangible. I'll give an example. Somebody who owns a diamond mine, the value of that diamond mine might be $1 billion, but if you project it over 20 years, then it's $20 billion. So what the controlling element have been able to do is get these people to deposit some of this very real worth material for 3 months in a bank. I won't name the bank. I actually know what it is, but I'm sure there'll be trouble if I name it, which is actually in America, but it's not an American bank, but it is based in America, and is holding it for 3 months so that the bank balance looks very good. Now, that means that I do not predict a crash in the United States this year. When I look back on my predictions, I don't take any pride in the fact that I was right. We nearly saw the collapse of the Chinese government. Anyone who's done any research knows that an attack by the cabal, the same group that is the cabal in America, attacked the Chinese government by hitting them where it hurts, which is the minerals, metals market. China is developing at an incredible rate and has an unrestricted growth rate of about 10%. And that's dependent. It is huge. That's dependent on obviously everything from concrete to metal to what have you. So the attack on the metals stock market nearly brought them down. Now, I've been actually chatting to a couple of people on this subject generally, and there's a bit of confusion. It isn't the amount of debt that's the problem. You think about Greece. And all the newspapers and the television just focuses on the debt. It's not actually the debt that matters, because the debt isn't real anyway. It's just a false thing. What matters is the ability of the country to create wealth. Now, in China's case, it is growing at the rate of 10%, but the debt is growing at the rate of 20%. So every year, the growth of the gross national product of the country has been exceeded by 10%. So most of the Western countries are into the 100% plus debt. In other words, they are exceeding their ability of their country to produce wealth maybe by 2, 3, 4 times. This is the issue. This is what will finally bring down Western economies, not the debt, but the fact that it is incapable of paying it. And just finally, with this terrible situation in Greece, what people are not being told is that the Greeks have been threatened that if they don't maintain their payments now, then their country will be seized. And what I mean by that is anyone who has a mortgage or has backed their loan against something else, and if you default on the loan, then they come and take goods to the value of. And what Greece has been told is that if it defaults on its payments, then basically they will strip the country, which means everything from a tractor to a factory to what have you. So this is how countries are owned by, I suppose, ultimately the Rothschild, really. They will say that as long as you make your payments, you're fine. If you don't make the payments, we won't come and take money off you because that's valueless. We'll come and, because we know it's valueless because we print it, but we'll come and take stuff that really is worth it. So a big piece of industrial machinery or something to do with a farm. And that's how they're dealing with it, because everyone in the know is now aware that paper money is totally valueless, and they're trying to mad scramble to back it up with something that is tangible, whether that's diamonds, gold, real estate, it doesn't matter. That's what they want. And the Chinese have been at it for years, and anybody in America knows that probably they can't be too far away from something the Chinese have bought. So anyway, JP, it's just really to say to people that we're not looking at a financial collapse in the States this year. September, we are looking at some form of insurrection of some sort, some form of small-scale activity in the States, and we're also looking at an energy wave, which is part and parcel of what we've already had, but is designed to break the status quo. We've had a blanket of reptilian energy over the Earth now for nearly 2 years, which has brought a stagnation, and psychic people know that we're not moving forward as we should be. So there's a large blast of very positive energy due around the September time, which should get the ball rolling again. So that's my maintenance, with my maintenance hat on.
So just to pick up on that, this is what we've called Wave X. Is that right? Or is that just something? Is that just a buzz term, a meme that is like, "Oh, I'm owning this idea."
I'm quite happy for it to be called Wave X. It's a form of consciousness that is going to be projected over the planet, and as long as people don't expect to feel vibrations in their feet, as long as they don't expect a fire, I do not want a replay. Of the 2012 situation, where people were absolutely disheartened because the ground didn't open up and a volcano erupt. You know, people have got to understand this isn't about a physical change. This is about an energy change occurring to their bodies. And the psychic ones will actually feel a change. And I'm hopeful that people who are not psychic will feel something. But please don't be looking for a light show or a firework display. It doesn't work like that.
Right. Okay. So, let's not expect big things. Now, actually, there's somebody calling in. Should we take this caller?
Yeah, why not?
So area code 503. You're directly on the air with Simon Parks. Who's speaking?
Hello.
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 Can you hear us?
Yes. Yes, I can hear you. I have some fervent questions I've been wanting to ask, and I'm wondering how to get them to you.
Right. Well, there's loads and loads of people who are asking for questions, or are asking questions, putting them in the chat room at Wolf Spirit Radio.
Yes, I'm on Wolf Spirit Radio, and I don't know how to get to the chat room.
Go to listen and chat on the top of the page on the menu.
I'm listening, okay, but where's the chat?
It should...
Welcome to Wolf Chat?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. Is there any possibility that I might be able to email you my questions and that...
Look, the next... I'm sorry, your name? What's your name, dear? This is a very, we're on the air, and it would be easier if you just ask one question only, please, the most important question, because we've got so many questions. You can only take one question from each person.
Yes,
so if you could ask your question now. What's your name as well?
Okay, I'll go should I just put it into the chat?
No, speak it out now, and we'll answer it, okay?
Come straight in,
please.
All right.
JP,
Please. Maybe we should move on. Yeah.
No, that's okay. Can I just have a quick word with her?
Sorry.
Hello. What's your name? She's gone.
She had about four players playing. I could hear this echo going on.
The thing is, you see, it may be that it was of a very personal nature.
Yes.
It may be that. So I can understand if she didn't want to do it. The best thing is, at the moment, we're trying to get the website up and running. We had to reduce it because we had so many attacks. If someone does have something of a personal nature and they can't, you know, ask it over the air, if they can sort of email, and then I'll take it from there. So if people just do that, that's probably the best bet.
That's it. That's a good thing. And you can get there's a contact form on simonparks.org.
Yeah, there should be. We should be getting it back up and running now, so people can get back. So, yes, I appreciate there must be some very personal stuff. I know there is. I deal with it. So, yeah, to save hassle, if people just email, that would be better.
Yeah, much better. So, please don't call in, although we do have call-in numbers, unless you've got if you can really sort of laser point this. Let's get going. We're quarter past. So let's say, my first question here is from Kitty Kubiak, which is a lovely sound. It must be Canadian or something. Is the high energy of the galaxy we are entering the photon belt? Is it the same as wave X? Or is it some kind of energetic wave that is moving through the entire universe? Now, you outlined a little bit about that a minute ago, but do you want to just fill everybody in on the sort of completeness of this?
Yes. it's not to do with any sort of belts. It is to do with, we talk about energy, it's actually more to do with consciousness. It's actually I'm happy to use the word, a divine consciousness, actually. It's a divine consciousness that will strike the planet over a period of hours, which means as the planet rotates, so that all of the planet will be bathed in it. And still, not just the people that will be subject to this, it will actually penetrate the Earth and will connect with the Earth and will alter and change some of the procedures in the Earth at the moment. So this is a long-planned element that's to happen. I'm watching it very carefully, because on the 15th of August this year, there's a very important planetary alignment, and CERN, the Hadron Collider, is due to ramp up to its maximum output on the 15th. And there's no coincidence. And this should be seen in relation to us entering this energy or consciousness stream. So Hadron Collider is going to be activated to attempt to interfere, as it did in 2012. So I'm watching that one very carefully. So this is a separate from any belts or anything that's physical. This is something that was always meant to happen, both to the people on the planet and the planet itself. It's positive.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you. Because my personal thought about this wave is, if the galaxy is a conscious being and its greater points of awareness exist in the center, then somehow there has to be a mechanism to transmit those points of awareness out like thoughts from the center all the way to the end. And the thought process of the galaxy must be just completely God-mind, sending out God-mind all the time.
Yes.
So the wave is like a pulse that's been sent out from the center of the galaxy, and it's taken a long time to get here. Have anybody that you know, or any of your off-planet groups, human or otherwise, can they see this thing coming? Are they watching it? And presumably people are tracking it. Beings are tracking it.
Yes, it's projected the not in the same way as we would understand people sitting over a radar scope tracking something and the machine goes bleep, bleep, bleep as it counts down. It's more to do with history, in the same way as the Mayan calendar tracks. So, for instance, it was always predicted and expected. Certain beings are not able to detect it, because they have fallen from grace themselves. But those creatures that are still connected to Source will, at a higher level, will actually be able to feel it as it approaches. It's almost like a pressure wave building up before it. So it's something that can't be stopped or interfered with, because it is the will of the Creator. It is the will of the universe, whatever you want to call it. And so what beings on both sides of the fence are doing is either to try to reduce its effect or increase its effect. So they can't stop it, but they're trying to play around the periphery, the edges of it.
So this really is crunch time. This is what we've been waiting for all of these years, the whole thing.
What we were waiting for was 2012. That was the crunch time. The 21st of December 2012, that was the crunch time. That was the moment that the door was kicked open, never to be shut again. But you're right, we've been waiting for this, because without this addition, humanity would just get stuck in the mud and not go further. So we've been waiting for this to give us a final kickstart, a final push. What you will notice is that more and more people will become discerning. People will become even more suspect of information that is fed to them by official lines. People will become more spiritual, there'll be more cases of children being telepathic or being able to levitate things. There should be a wide increase. And the question is, of course, whether the established media will be able to hold it back, or whether even some of the journalists or TV guys are also connected to this, and so they try to get the truth out. So it's going to be fascinating to watch. Yes, it's long been predicted. Yes, it's a very important element, but it is part of a sequence of interactions from a very high source to see that the humans get every chance. So it's not the last one, but it's nearly the last one.
Right. Okay. So this is again something I've been tracking personally. You know, like these feelings of, you know, I was talking earlier on before the show. There's a lot of feelings of what we call stuff coming up, i.e., old pain and trauma and weird jealousies and hatreds and, you know, these weird emotions that everybody thought that they would, you know, completely cured from or just never come up before, but they're coming up to clear patterns that are, you know, that will stop you from being the 100% human being that this wave is going to encourage us more to do, isn't it?
Yeah, I think people are sometimes too hard on themselves. They may be do it on a 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 year period of enlightenment, and they think they've gone beyond a certain point. Suddenly something happens which seems to be very negative and drag them back, and they begin to question themselves as to, you know, how could I be so stupid, or how could such a dense, heavy energy affect me? The reality is that we're still in a largely third dimensional realm, and, you know, whether we like it or not, we have mammalian bodies excuse me, and we have brains that we could describe loosely as monkey brains. We are going to be, no matter how spiritual we think we are going to, from time to time, have issues that are in our face, and that's deliberate, and we have to deal with them. So the problem isn't that we suddenly have these issues that we thought we got rid of. The main issue is, how do we deal with them? Do we move on from it, or do they drag us back? So all I'd say to people is, it's perfectly normal. Just deal with it and get on with it.
Yeah, and there's many ways nowadays of dealing with these emotions, and you know, counseling, emotional freedom technique. There's some very good ones. So let's now. Okay, so the question segues nicely when we're talking about discernment. You know what's coming.
Husky dog.
Not the husky dog, no. The big question that's going around, doing the rounds this last month is, blue avians, Corey Good, David Wilcock, Michael Seller, are they being taken for a ride? Corey Good, and then there's this, the Ruiner, who's, you know, an opposite Illuminati, saying, blah, blah, blah. And then there's this other bright guy, Bradley Loves and Alfred Weber, who are sort of looking on and saying, there's a bit of strange stuff. So, Simon Parks, what's your angle on this whole controversy that's going on?
Thank you. I think it would be very useful to contact Chris Thomas. Chris Thomas, in my book, actually genuinely reads the Akashic Records. The problem is, you see, that some beings are capable of removing their signature from the Akashic Records. They can actually just blank it. I don't just mean didacted by sort of the traditional black line through it, but the pages relating to them can actually be removed. Whenever we talk about people who have had consistent work with CIA, NSA, or the Space Command, we should always be worried about mind control and false memories that are planted. Now, a guy I've got a lot of time for is a guy called Randy Kramer. Randy Kramer and I did a joint radio show with Alfred Weber, and we talked a lot about Mars. And, you know, it was very interesting that a lot of the stuff that Andy was coming out with, I could back up, and vice versa. Although he was a very decent Randy, because he actually said, look, I know some of the memories in my head are not real. some of the memories in my head are being, you know, implanted. So it was very interesting when people like Corey Good actually start verifying things that Randy Kramer has said, because it could be argued that if one person has mind control a Tuesday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and 2 hours later another person comes in for the same memory implant, well, yes, they would both support each other and agree, because they are accessing the same memories. And what I would say from all the deprogramming work that I've done with people is that these people would pass a lie detector test, because to them they are real and genuine memories. And you know, you can't say to somebody, oh, you're making it up or you're lying, because you know they go into a terrible state, because they're not making it up in the sense that they believe it to be true. So let's talk about these so-called blue avians. A number of people who I deeply respect have no knowledge of blue avians. But nevertheless, there was an object tracked by the Lucifer telescope run by the Vatican back end of last year, early this year, that appeared to have some entities on board which weren't reptilian in nature, but were of a different sort of group, who were far, far more supportive of the planet. And these groups actually made a connection with Putin, Russia, and also tentatively with China, which was quite an interesting turn up. But as to blue avians, I honestly would say that the jury's out at the moment.
So it's really interesting, because the avian theme has come up. You know, I'm looking at my chickens and I'm thinking, God, I wonder what it would be like to live in a chicken world. Do they have Kentucky Fried Human? You know, like, I've had some, you know, like imagine being Jewish, right? And, you know, you brought
well,
up...
I am Jewish.
Yeah, I know, me too. But imagine being brought up Jewish and then you land on the planet of chickens. What do you say?
Say, oy vey.
Oy vey.
I think the important thing is that when... and I've said it before on the show, that when an alien looks more bug-eyed, people accept it. But of course, when it looks like something we recognise, it becomes more of a concern. And we know, don't we, that chickens and birds evolved from dinosaurs. So that's quite interesting. But the only thing I'm saying is that don't seem to have any... evidence of blue avians being a real race rather than false images planted in somebody's mind. So we'll wait to see how it develops.
And there's a whole blue thing going on as well. You know, there's blue beam, blue ray, blue avians, and blue is part of the mind control situation.
Absolutely.
Isn't it? It's like polarization.
JP, this is why I'm on your show, because of all the people I've met, you were the one guy, this isn't to say there are others aren't, but you're the one guy I met who was with it. Yes, I mean, anyone who's listened to some of my radio or presentations knows that I talk as much as I can about the blue light, because it's a part of the control system. And when I was first told about the blue avians, what I said was, yes, I've heard of them. Which is, yes, I have heard of them. But the colour blue is a control colour. You know, it is the colour of the elite. It is the colour of the people. They don't like the colour. They use the colour. It's part of their control mechanism. And so as soon as I heard the colour was being associated with them, I immediately thought of programming. Because when you associate a colour or a number with something, that is how people are activated who have had mind control, whether it's a certain coloured handbag on a Hollywood actress's sofa or chair, or whether it's a type of wallpaper, or, you know, that's how subtle it is, and the audience will know, because the audience are very switched on. So because the colour was associated with these creatures, and they didn't have to be cooler, I was immediately worried that this was a name created by somebody in a complex or a facility and part of the program. And if we're now seeing on the internet a great huge explosion of debate about these creatures, again, that is deliberate. That is deliberate. It's part of the mass swamping of intellect by certain forces. So all I'm saying is, jury's out, and I'll just see how things develop.
So, all right, I just got a couple more little nuggets here. There is a specific colour of blue that has been patented by... Hang on a second. Have I got the right thing? Barclays Bank.
There you go.
And when the guy whose father got whose son was involved in the false flag in America, he was the guy who was analyzing the whole corporate structure of the planet and finding out that Barclays Bank runs everything. It's connected right in the middle of the web of highly tangled, complex corporations and things like that. So, is there a link there, Simon?
Let's look at it this way. 1933, when Adolf Hitler became Chancellor of Germany and took control of the country, basically, he had a propaganda minister called Dr. Joseph Goebbels. And Dr. Joseph Goebbels was a very, very astute manipulator. And it's true to say that certain political parties in the 1980s and 90s actually looked back at the way that Hitler was sold and presented to learn how they could actually learn tricks from it. In 1933, Dr. Joseph Goebbels changed, now I believe it was the letter A in music, the letter A, but also the letter C has been changed.
Yeah, the note of A. Well, actually, yes. It's when you tune an instrument as an orchestra, you always tune, somebody plays an A, and it's usually a reed instrument, like literally the accordion is the instrument that accords everybody tunes to. Yes. So when you, the note of A was a certain number of cycles that is depending on the Pythagoras. And and Goebbels took that and made it. It just, he tweaked it by 8 cycles a second, but it was, that's enough to have a psychological effect of more anxiety.
Yes.
So yeah, I mean, as a musician, I've researched a lot of this.
Yeah, and he used it to run around his newsreels. So when he was showing anti-Semitic videos, and they funded a lot of anti-Jewish films, he ensured that he used that. And when he was talking about his political opponents, or Hitler's political opponents, or the threat from this country or that country, then that would be the music background. So the reason I'm talking about that is it shows right back in 1933 that the elite were aware that the imagery or the sound or the colour they were using had an effect. And what I think is perhaps much more concerning than any of that is that before the Second World War, the American government also altered the letter A. So if you want evidence of a one world government, there you go. Before the Second World War, both Germany and America actually alter the frequency of the letter A. But back to Barclays Bank. If blue is a controlling colour, then it is the colour of authority. So police, ambulance, fire brigade, etc., 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 are authority. So the blue light is the symbol of authority. That is why in Great Britain, the Conservative Party, the current government at the moment, has the colour blue, because it is the number one governing group. It is the elite. So if a bank patents or protects a particular frequency of blue, then it must be the closest to the blue that affects the human mind through the optic nerve and the eye. And therefore, they don't want anyone else to have that, so that anybody who looks at that colour is more drawn in and believes more and has more respect. And, oh, my bank is very strong. It's not going to go under because it's got this lovely blue business card I was given. So, yes, absolutely. These are tricks that have been used for hundreds of years.
Thank you very much. A very, very important subject there, Simon. So, let's. We're on question number two just now, and like there's 24. So maybe we should. I'm gonna look through them and now someone's calling, but for some reason I can't bring them in. So Lizzie Ben Zikri, please stop calling. Please put your question into the chat room, please. Thank you, my dear. Okay, now here's another very salient point, meme here. I'm curious what Simon Parks thinks about the alien black goo and Earth-based black goo that Harold Kautzweller talked about in June at the length in the Bases conference that was recently posted on YouTube. Clearly what Harold is doing is very advanced disclosure, which I hope will help unity consciousness as isn't for a duality agenda. So, two questions really. Black goo, unity, duality, or is it Borg?
Right, the Falklands War that Great Britain fought against Argentina was fought over black goo.
Really?
Nothing else, just the black goo. And in fact, a commando team, well, it was the SAS, and a group of commandos went and blew up one of the facilities or entrance points to an underground facility where this black goo was being worked on. So the whole of the Falklands War was literally about the control of this resource. There are two sorts of black goo to my knowledge. One is a natural element of the earth, which is sentient, and from it you can actually synthesize life. And there's another form which was seeded from off-world or off-planet. I don't know whether it was seeded literally by chance or deliberately, but that is rather negative and has the ability to take a shape or form. I don't mean a shape or form like change into a dog or a cat or a husky dog, but change into a form that would change its crystalline structure, and therefore it could become poisonous or negative. So there is a natural native material, and there's also something that is brought in from elsewhere, and it is both are sentient. I didn't see the Bases conference. In fact, I was invited by Miles to speak at the Bases conference, but unfortunately I had a prior engagement, so I wasn't able to attend and to be a guest speaker, and because I had this prior engagement I wasn't able to catch up or go to see it. But I am aware of the black goo, and I am aware that there's a history, and some British defence contracting companies have actually some samples of this and are experimenting with them, or at least they have experimented with them. I think they just put them in a concrete bunker at the moment. So yes, without having heard what this guy is talking about from the little you've told me, then yes, it sounds genuine to me.
So the black goo is, this is what was in the X-Files?
Well, you about all people know that if we see it on television, as a, quote, science fiction or science fantasy story.
It's a documentary.
Yeah, exactly. Someone is leaking it deliberately. Either because it's a fantastic story, and it's based on the truth, and we can go with it, or how do we try and get this information out to the public in such a way as I can't be done for treason? It's like Charles Hall, bless him, who was the weatherman in Area 51 and had some very interesting connections with off-world entities, and in the front of his book he had to say, this isn't real, this is just a story, because he had to protect himself. You know, and that's the world we live in, that we seem to have to pretend that what we're saying is made up just so we can get it published. And that's not a free world, is it? So, yes, the black goo in the X-Files is there for a reason.
Wow. And, so maybe we'll discuss this to a greater depth in another show, because we've got lots of questions. Thank you, Simon. All right. So from black goo and crystalline deformation to, for Simon Park, there is a lot of misunderstanding about shape-shifting. Can Simon set the record straight by describing what it is and why it happens? Does it only happen to reptilian-human hybrids? Is it involuntary bodily reaction, and can it be controlled by using meditation and breathing techniques? Thank you.
That's a really good question. A really good question.
Yeah, I mean, this is the kind of question we want to be asked. These very, very specific questions. Thank you.
I actually think this is probably somebody who has had a consultation with me. When I consult with people, I do a soul reading. And often shape-shifting comes up. I will actually say to people, you know, you are capable of shape-shifting. And some people actually look at me in horror because they have seen pictures on the internet or they've read stuff on the internet. So this is a great opportunity for me to just put the record straight. When we rejoin with our DNA, our 12 strands, we are connecting with different soul groups. Some of these DNA strands are more in tune with our physical body than others. And when you tune in with a particular strand, you are reconnecting with that family and you have the ability to shape-shift into that family. Two sorts of shape-shifting. Remember, I'm not talking about a reptilian, full reptilian who comes to Earth and then uses an energy disguise as a human. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about your general human-type person that you meet every day who has a soul in their body, but the soul in their body may not be an Earth human soul. It could be a whole range of souls. When you shapeshift, what you're doing is using the energy that is within you and you project it outwards. In metric terms, about 1 millimeter, in old terms, about 16th of an inch above your face. It's almost like when you go to the movies, you sit down and the projector's behind you and it throws the picture onto a screen. Well, imagine that your face is the screen, and just fractionally above your face, you form an energy blanket. And you can then begin to alter, it appears, your face. Your face isn't changing at all. What's happening is that the energy of this blanket is beginning to subtly change the features of your face. Now, if you have a great deal of reptilian DNA in you, or a great deal of another form of off-world alien in you, you can physically change. So the first things to go are the eyes. Always, always, always the eyes are the first thing to go, then the rest of the face. Again, I'm stressing, I'm not talking about a full-blooded reptilian alien that comes here and uses a disguise. I'm talking about an ordinary type person who has a physical mammalian body but is capable of shape-shifting. What causes shape-shifting? It's great emotion. The great elements, so you might have anger or fear or something like that, or love making. One of those aspects can cause a person who is connecting with themselves to shapeshift, and it's not to be seen as negative. It's actually positive. The difficulty is that we've seen so many of these blasted videos of George Bush Jr. or Sr. Allegedly shapeshifting, and it isn't that George Bush is shapeshifting. That's not the problem. The problem is it's George Bush. So, you know, if you can shapeshift, you are celebrating the fact that you are drawing down your DNA and you are connecting with different star groups. And I've always said to people, look, go watch Lord of the Rings, the movie. And when you look at some of these elves, the makeup is brilliant. Forget the pointy ears. What you've got is a chalk white face, a really white face, and a very long drawn face with high cheekbones. That actually is very similar to about three what I call higher human forms. And people have the ability who can connect with their DNA to begin to bring on a shape like that. So it's not just reptilian. So it's a really good chance to be able to speak about that. It's something that most researchers don't understand. How could they? And most people don't grasp. How could they? And so it's an opportunity for me to talk about a subject that has not even really been discussed except to lambast it or to point your finger and say, well, that's evil. It isn't. There's nothing wrong in celebrating the fact that you can connect with other races. And this is the fear that humans have. We've got to get rid of this fear. So, yeah, great question.
So in a way, you're saying it's like speaking in a different, like a local accent or tenor, in order to hang out with your family. So you look with a different accent, if you see what I mean. If you can, you know, understand that sort of point I'm making, is like, in order to blend in with the people that you're trying to communicate with, you start looking like them.
Well, when a person draws down and connects their DNA, they are actually showing that they are a connected consciousness to the group. So over the last few hundred thousand years, humanity has been altered and connected by all these different groups that all have a stake in the human plan. So if that's part of you, why would you want to hide it and bury it? And it's like the grandmother that we never talk about. You know, we hide her in the darkest, tallest tower, and we don't talk about her. And that's been the situation with the reptilian connection for a very long time. And we've got to get beyond the fear. We've got to get beyond that, and we've got to understand there are plenty of people out there who have very strong reptilian souls, and they're wonderful, because it's not what you are, it's what you choose to be. This is the point, and we can't really carry on judging people by what we read on the internet. We have to judge them by their actions and what they do and when we meet them. And I do get somewhat annoyed when people make statements about others and they never even met them. You know, how do they know? So we're too fearful, we're too judgmental, and we need to actually just realize that the human race is connected to a wide network of other creatures, and they are represented in our genetics. So we don't just have two physical strands of DNA, we have 10 energy strands. And those people who are drawing in their energy strands are the ones who are capable of shape-shifting.
Fascinating. And the there was a question that just passed right through me regarding this. Shape-shifting is not something that necessarily has to happen. I mean, when you're talking about the first thing that I was thinking about when you're talking about is, like, if we were a planet, we'd have an atmosphere. You know, we'd have clouds that were just hovering. You know, you wouldn't know how far above our skin, only a couple of mil. And it's almost like you're talking, as the planet has an atmosphere, so yes, we have an atmosphere that reflects our beingness somehow. Is that right?
Well, the human form is not just flesh and blood and bone. It has a soul and a divine spirit. And it is capable of many things that modern science refuses to accept. And one of those is the projection of energy, whether that's by telepathic thought or whether telekinesis, you know, moving bits of furniture around the room. It's not just a poltergeist. People can do that. So if you can accept that, then you can accept that we can project energy. Now, the difficulty is that in most cases, shape-shifting is not controllable. It is something that just occurs, and that's why some of the clips on YouTube are accurate. There's a couple of a newsreader, and they are, in my book, accurate. Because if a newsreader is reading a subject that he or she, and there's your clue, are feeling very emotional about, because it's something to do with their personal life, or it impacts, something's happened to them, then they will trigger something in themselves, and quite unintentionally, they will shapeshift. Now, if that person has got a predominantly a reptilian soul, or a lot of reptilian energy DNA in their body, then they will change, and their eyes will become slit-like, like a snake's. But that doesn't mean they're bad. It just means that something affected them, and they connected with their true selves, and they changed. It doesn't mean they're a bad newsreader, or a bad mother, or a bad father. It just means that something happened and they connected. So, you know, let me give you an example. I always talk about her because it's the highest group. A female I worked with, who now works for the Rothschilds, she told me that when she was in university, and she used to be in the break period, and she would have her friends round her, and her eyes would go. Her eyes would change and they would become reptilian slits. And she said she knew it was happening, but she couldn't control it. She couldn't stop it. And the people around her would stare at her. And she said she would watch them walking away, shaking their head, convincing themselves that they didn't actually see that. And the next morning she'd meet them and they would be completely fine because they had convinced themselves that they hadn't seen anything at all. So what the point I'm making is this is much more common than you'd think, but people just say, oh, well, I must have imagined it. It was the way the light was, or I had a bad coffee or something like that. Because humans are very good at talking themselves out of what they've actually experienced. So it's very common, happens all the time, and there will be people listening to this who can stand in front of a mirror and can partially do it. And I say to people, start practicing, stand in front of a mirror and do it. And the moment you start doing it, you are connecting with who you are. So, yeah, it's an exciting and a really, really interesting topic.
Fantastic. So does that mean that one day we will be able to be invisible as well?
Invisible? Well, I suppose we could buy a great big eraser and rub ourselves out. then we'd be bumping into each other. No, because there isn't, to my knowledge, there isn't a member of the human family that is an invisible being. What we can do, if we survive, is evolve enough and go up the dimensions so that ultimately we can join Source and be at 12th dimensional level, which means that we won't have any sort of physical body at all. So we won't be invisible, but we would have an energy shimmy or a sort of like a heat haze around us.
Ah, yeah, because this is what I'm, you know, considering that what you're talking about, this energy radiance thing is, yeah. You know, anyway, so look, let's keep going, because now here's another fantastic question, and this is Essene Jim. What are some of the ways an individual can sort of do a past life reading on themselves to maybe help the unique individual personality point gain access to more soul information and experiences to help right now? Fantastic.
Right. You either can or you can't. In other words, to access your past memories in a controlled way is incredibly difficult. How most people experience it is with a flashback or little snippets coming now and again. So you imagine like a video playing, just a 5-second video. It's usually triggered by an activity, whether it's a bright color or somebody says something on the radio or you see something or somebody, or you go visit a place and you think, my goodness, I know this place. I know where the door will be. I know where the back window will be. And it's these things that overcome the 3D control mechanism that people have and access the real truth in them. And they then can begin to understand they've had a past life. If a person suspects they have a past life, there are a number of people you can go to who are very genuine, who can assist them. But if they want to do it themselves, then they really have to find a quiet time. And I mean quiet. You've got to plug your phones. You've got to just make sure you're not going to be disturbed. You've also got to ensure that for the few days beforehand, you're very careful about what you eat and what you drink. You also have to be in a position where you're not stressed at work. And that's very difficult for most of us. But ultimately, if you can put yourself into quite a calm, quiet place, then if you have some techniques of meditation and you have some very useful music which help you, it is possible through what I call portal objects. And I mean, if someone was of a Sirius or a Sirius soul, then the crystal skull, of course, is part of their family. So if they were to sit there and hold a crystal skull, that would enable them to open up some of that communication network. If they were Palladian, then they should get a lovely carving of a dolphin and literally sit there and unhold the dolphin. You're looking at something to anchor you to a point in time, and then you can then backtrack down this corridor and see what you can find. If I had the time, I would write a series of workshops to show people how to do it. It is possible, but it is sometimes a lot easier and quicker to go to someone who can regress you and take you back. But it, yeah, another good question, JP.
That would be a great web. I just want to announce, this is a first announcement, we're going to be doing a webinar next Friday with Alex Collier. You heard it first here. I'll be posting the publicity soon. So, Simon, if you want to do webinars, we're going to have the system set up. It'll be wolfspirit.tv, and we're going to do some interesting things. So that might be a possibility.
I'm delighted to hear that. Yeah. I mean, you know, and anyone who's listened to me knows that I've always spoken incredibly highly of Alex. I've always said that Alex Collier was genuine. Alex Collier's connecting with people from the fifth dimension, whereas I connect with the fourth. And he's a very brave person, and I'm really glad that he's still, you know, ticking along and doing what he's done. So, a very good man, and I shall certainly be listening to that.
I tell you, I have to just put it out there that he is really destitute. You know, really, he needs some really good care. So if anybody's in Colorado, in the area of Colorado, that could help him out in any way, he's living in a Land Rover that has got no suspension. You know, it's a really bad situation. So if anybody feels from this that they want to help him, go to alexcollier.org and donate. That button goes straight to his account. Like straight, he can spend that straight away. So,
JP, can I just say something? Can I just
go ahead?
Say something quickly. I don't even think that Alex has said this, so he may not say it. But basically, if anybody goes on YouTube, they will find videos of him. Early videos, and he talks about aliens, etc., and there was never a problem. And then he talked about the missing children, and although to my knowledge Alex has never said anything, I am prepared to say that he received a very serious death threat, and that's why there's no videos of him for over 10 years. There's just nothing out there, and when he re-emerges he's an older man. And you look at the early videos, and then you say, well, where's he been? And the fact was that I believe that he took the threat incredibly seriously. He stopped doing what he was doing, and then his consciousness grew, and he decided he couldn't hide it, and he had to get back. And when he did, the elite attacked him, and they bankrupt him. And, he's been under attack ever since. So he's a very genuine person, and I'm really glad that he's not succumbed. So if anybody can spare $5 for $10 for him, then please do so.
I tell you, you know, I was in tears when I spoke to him, and I haven't got any money myself, but you know, here you go. Sold a crystal. Here's the thing, yeah.
JP, that's the problem. That the people who are fighting against the system strangles us. It keeps us. I mean, I run my connecting consciousness on a shoestring, and if it wasn't for the wonderful charity people who donate a few dollars and a few quid here and there, we'd all be in a trouble. The people who are supporting the system, they're the ones who are really well paid, because they are the pillars holding up the system. Of course the system's rewarding these people because they are products. They're just little robots. But those of us who are trying to break and fight and get free and try to wake the world up, of course the system turns on us. And that actually is a sign of people who are genuine. Those of us who are struggling for a reason. Those of us who are rolling in cash are rolling in cash for a reason. So, you know, I'd say to people, you know, just look around you and ask yourself, who are genuine and who isn't genuine. So, yeah, I'm really glad that Alex is there. And yes, JP, I'll certainly be listening to that.
All right, thank you. Now, we're coming up to the top of the hour, but one thing I'd like to draw back is, you said something about fixing the electricity or doing something about electricity, and this is, it's really close to my heart. I'm personally making a low voltage smart house that lights rooms and turns the lights on and off automatically, very energy saving, very energy efficient, and I know that you're involved in an energy production company that makes wind turbines. Is that where you were going with that?
Well, I don't know.
Because we were talking earlier, right at the beginning of the show, you said, I'll talk about that later. It's about electricity.
Did I mention electricity?
Yeah.
Maybe I've had a quick abduction and I can't.
can we have our Simon back, please? Yeah. Anyway, so
that made me laugh. Well, quick word on there are many people actually throughout the planet who actually understand about zero point energy. There are many people who want to put up their solar panels and their wind turbines. That isn't the issue. The issue is the corporations. Because if you control a resource, you then control it and you sell it to the public. But if you sell direct to the public, then you don't need that middleman, you don't need that corporation. So the issue isn't there is this alternative technology. The issue is how do you get it out to the public without ending up in a ditch? So that is the question I think that most people who have invented anything that's really, really empowering have really fought. I mean, we all know about Nikola Tesla and the issues he came up with when he tried to sell his product or push his product out. Yes, I'm involved with a company that is into renewables, and we would like to ensure that ordinary average people have access to cheaper energy. And we don't particularly like the idea of these big companies charging an arm and a leg so that you can read a book at night time. And I have a personal philosophy. It's not the philosophy of the company that I am in, but I have a personal philosophy, which is I don't think anybody should pay to have to keep warm. I don't think you should have to pay to heat your house, because heat is something that keeps you alive. And if you go out on a summer's day and you stand there and you feel the sun on your body, how much did you pay for that? Nothing. You didn't pay for it because it was free. That's free energy. So why in God's name, when we go inside, do we have to pay to warm ourselves? So this is all a trick. It's a massive con. It's the small, tiny 1% of the 100% of the population who control the resources and make their money, because they have deprived us of having access to what is free. So this is my philosophy, and I will do anything and everything I can to ensure that people have access to the necessities of life. They shouldn't have to pay for it. If you want the latest mobile phone, then yes, of course you pay for it. But for goodness sake, I'm in Great Britain, and 2 years ago, in the area that I live, a person was put in prison for 30 days for stealing bread. 30 days in prison. Ridiculous. For going into a shop and stealing bread. What on earth is this about? I mean, yes, if they'd gone in and run out with an expensive perfume, but this is where this whole system is totally wrong and it needs to be changed. So we just look at one aspect and you find another aspect and another aspect, and in the end you realise that it is a philosophy of a small group of people who don't want to share. This is my cake. You're not even going to have the walnut on the top. Well, you can have this little bit, but you've got to pay for it. So that's what's wrong. It's greed. Because I don't have a problem with people making money. I don't have a profit. Profit is fine, but it's greed. And this is what needs to change. And this is what my own little connecting consciousness is about. It's what you're about and many other people are about. It's about connecting up values and ideals and challenging the system and saying, this can't be right. It wasn't right in the Victorian times. It wasn't right 100 years ago. It's not right now. But people are more empowered and people now are prepared to actually say no. And hopefully this is what will happen over the next 2.5 years as human consciousness develops.
Excellent. Now, to that end, a recording that I made here in this very studio a couple of years ago. This song is sung by Amanda and written by Amanda Cazalet. And it's called Changeling. And I thought this was quite appropriate. This is called Changeling.
Fragments in solitude. child a change, a change thing, a changeling. Love bequeaths a play of fire beneath my fingertips, an ocean of suns explodes, flows over the page, overflows, pretty things, the bright birds.
Darling Does was the name of it. Does Darling want a cup of tea? Yes, Darling Does. That's why they were called Darling Does. Anyway, welcome back to Connecting Consciousness with Simon Parks. And we are back with more questions. And again, segueing nicely, question 7 from Bluin. What sound frequencies should we listen to raise our vibration level? And what frequencies should we avoid? Very complex question, really. Simon, on you go.
Two ways I would answer that. First of all, depending on your soul, your connection, and I guess you'd have to have a chat with me to find out what your soul was if you weren't sure yourself. And depending on that, there are certain sounds that you can listen to, just simply on YouTube, which would assist you in meditation. Now, and separately, we talked a little about how I think the letter A was altered by, was it 8 cycles, I think we talked about?
Yeah, from 440 to 432.
Yeah. Well, what we need to ensure is that if we're listening to any music, particularly meditation music, on the internet, that we really are listening to something that's not just concocted on the back of this altered sound. So if you can find a website or a company doing meditation music, at the decent, good Earth frequencies, the Schumann resonance of the Earth, then that is what you should be doing. Depending on your soul, you can then use other items to assist you in that. So I can't run through this whole list. I mean, depending on the soul background of that individual, then I would then say, well, this is appropriate. But obviously at this stage, all I can say to you is avoid the more modern music and attempt to connect with your star family.
That's a very interesting point, because every star family has got its own tuning. It's got its own key and frequency. And, you know, one day I'm going to make a big pie chart that's going to have 12 divisions, and it will have all of the race, the strand, the note, the color, the geometric form, the personality type. It's going to have everything. Because this is the big alchemy question, isn't it? How does everything connect to everything else?
Yes, if you think of Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone, and you think back to the days of the Renaissance, and what alchemy was understood was turning a base metal into gold, and was called the Philosopher's Stone. But of course, that wasn't what it was about at all. It was actually about the 12 strands. This was just a smokescreen. The real Philosopher's Stone was the secret that they were looking for, that to what we're talking about, it to draw down the 10 strands of DNA. The Philosopher's Stone of alchemy was literally rising to higher consciousness. That's why it's called the Renaissance period, because this was the time of great minds and a spiritual uprising, which really nothing had happened since the Middle Ages. So yes, each individual has their own key, has their own, I don't like the word triggers because it has negative connotations, but it can also be positive, have positive triggers which allow them to connect with themselves at a faster rate. So without knowing the questioner, without having seen a picture of them, I can't tell you tell them what their soul is, therefore I can't give them an answer, because I work visually. I have to see a picture or a video to help somebody.
So, yeah, we're going to have to find a way of you having, I don't know, maybe it needs to be like a class situation where you answer questions in groups. It just seems to be the number of questions you're getting asked and the work that you're needing to do is like outweighing your ability to be present in the single body.
Well, that's interesting, because somebody else said that to me, and that was very interesting, and I'm giving that a lot of thought.
looking for your clones.
I have clones. Apparently, I've been told I have clones in case I'm taken out.
Wow.
If I'm taken out, then they can't. What I've been told is they cannot afford for me to reincarnate in a baby and grow up, because it just isn't the time. So there are clones of me, so that if I get taken out, I come back again. But so far, I'm in the original body.
All right. I was just going to say, are you a backup?
No. I'm still the original me.
Well, this isn't. I don't want to go too far into this. It's a bit of an odd out thing, but I had a conversation with my guides, and I said, "Well, do they have any clones?" And yeah, they're trying to ask questions of clones of me, but it's me that, you know, it's the me behind the me that they want to talk to, and not the clone. You know, they're talking to just the meat suit. Is that a possibility, or am I just making that all up? And I also said I don't consent anymore, so I stopped that.
Right. And my understanding is that when a person is removed, or the physical body is removed, the soul from that body is placed into the clone. So it is that person, but the replication is nearly perfect, and the difference is that divine source didn't make the clone. So the physical body and the soul were made by divine source, and so a clone is not a creature of divine energy, divine creation. It is a construct made by another intelligence, but not a divine intelligence. So we shouldn't negatively brush away clones, It's not the clone that's the problem, it's what's inside it. If it's a good thing inside it, it's fine, because all a clone body is a vehicle to allow that person to do what they're doing. And if they're doing bad things, then that's wrong. If they're doing good things, that's good. So again, it's lack of knowledge by the general public, it's fear and a misunderstanding of this sort of Frankenstein or Frankenstein's monster type creation.
Excellent, thank you. That's a really important questions at the moment, because like, how do we know if it's real or Memorex, you know? Okay, so more great questions. Okay, so here we go. Can you explain the difference in the various races? Well, maybe it's not such a good question. Like the Arcturians, the Pleiadians, the Syrians, bird people, ant people, Orions, along with some of the disinformation on the internet about them. Can some star beings on the planet now, as human, have had lifetimes with all these other races? Well, I think the second question you've already answered. But do you want to... I know you've probably answered this several times, but, like, who are the players that we know? Who are the different kinds of races that we're talking about that are involved without, you know, immediate situation?
Right. There are two things, first of all. There is the alien spacecraft and the creatures, whatever they are, and we say that is this race, that is that race. But there have been these people incarnating in human bodies for a very long time on the planet Earth. And many of the star children or indigo kids, that's the terminology that I think the Americans use, and I don't have a problem with it, over the last 20 years, 25 years, are incarnating from the fourth dimension, from, in British English, the Sirius constellation, and in American English, the Sirius constellation. So a large portion of the star kids are coming from the fourth dimension. We do not have the time to give justice to this question, because I would have to go through every different race and explain the differences. And if somebody is very keen and wants to know, then they can book a 30-minute consultation with me, and I'll tell them exactly who they are. And if they're really cheeky, and some people are really cheeky, and they hold up their pictures, oh, well, this is my brother, this is my uncle, and I'll do it as well. So they'll get three or four for the price of one.
Wow. And, you know, it's not like it's exorbitant either, consultation.
I've never... Anyone who knows and listens knows that I'm very careful, and I don't knock other people. I don't criticize other people, because that's not professional. But I do know that many people charge a huge amount of money. And there's one person, I'm not going to mention his name, it's an American guy who charges $1,000 for a consultation. But the problem is, you know, JP, that because I'm so cheap, money-wise, some Americans say, well, he can't be any good. He can't be any good because he's so cheap. And that's how they've been mind-controlled to believe. And I say, no, actually, I'm very cheap because I want everybody to be able to access me. And to be honest, people who don't have any money, I do it for nothing anyway. There are a number of people who are down on their luck, or they're on handouts, state benefits, and they're really good people. And I don't charge them. I just do it for nothing. So I think that information of this nature should be available to everyone, because how can you fully know yourself? How can you come to terms with who or what you are if you don't know your history? You know, this is the problem. We're all kept in the dark, in the sense that we're told this is a history book, this is the history of the world, whether it be America or Europe. But who talks about our own history? We go to an astrologer and get a star reading. We can go and get some past life regression. But who tells us who you are? And that's what I do. I tell people who they are. And then I tell them what their attributes are and why they have this particular habit or that habit. And the object isn't because I want to impress them with what I am. It's because I want them to go away and think, ah, now I understand. And they do things that improve their soul and make them happier. So I can't give full answer to that question. It would just take too long.
So maybe this is a subject for a webinar. It sounds like a perfect subject for a webinar.
Why not?
Yeah. So maybe that's the subject of the first one. Thank you. Right, okay, so from Kangulio. Question. I see people with silver eyes. Up to 8 lots now in 2 months. I can't find anything on the net for explanation. Anyone else had this? Simon, have you come across anyone else with this?
I haven't come across them, but I'm aware of them. It's to do with the pigmentation. There is an off-world human group. It's a shame that the questioner isn't available to answer back questions, because I would like to know the facial features. I would expect the facial features to be quite slender, with high cheekbones, quite a pointed chin, thinnish hair, and very, very thin, light eyebrows. If that person would like to give you the email on that, I'd be interested. Yes, I'm aware of them. It's due to pigmentation. It's on the other scale, why alien men in black have no eyebrows and have no hair. It's due with the genetics that have been altered to make them just enough human.
That's right. Yes. The other big meme of the moment... what was his name? Bob? Lash? Lamb? No, Lash. Yes.
Yeah.
So, what's the story with this dude? I mean, he's got, like, more military equipment than Batman. I mean, he has an underwater SUV. Nobody has an underwater SUV. What's the deal, Simon? You must know a bit about this guy.
Well, there are two things. You can either be a very successful business person and you've made the money yourself through particular companies, and you have a real interest in toys and you want to be a survivalist, and so you do that. And the other thing is that you work for, in a 3D sense, a particular organization, and you're very helpful to them, and they allow you to develop your interests, and therefore you have access to technology that, whilst doesn't appear to be alien, is still very advanced, because you can't buy in the high street. So, you know, if you were to talk to Richard Branson, the owner of Virgin Media, I'm sure Richard Branson has some very, very wonderful bits of equipment that you wouldn't be able to obtain even if you were a senator or a congressman or a member of parliament. You know, if I met a very wealthy, very, very wealthy businessman, I would expect him to have a steel sliding door behind his back office, which would go down into some form of bunker area where he and his family and his best friends could hide out for a number of months, and maybe a tunnel connecting somewhere else. That is much more common than you would imagine. And for those people who can't do that, then they have bought shares in such underground bunkers. So it's on a sliding scale. You need to have connection with very powerful corporations. This is where the power is, of course. Very powerful corporations, and you have to be a key player in some role that they've got. And you have to be upfront enough to be videoed on YouTube or make it known that you have all these toys and you're quite happy to show them off. So I'm going to be fairly careful, because a number of individuals are actually victims. A number of these people are actually victims and not the great, happy, powerful people they appear to be. They are just being manipulated.
And he was obviously very clued up. Now, he said he was an alien hybrid.
Yeah.
So do you think that... Well, let me lay out something, because you can't say what it is. There might be some, you know, danger in what you might say. So if I say something, and you can say, if, say, I was an Arcturian hybrid, or, you know, and I knew stuff, or part of my soul that was coming in order to hook into this body, new stuff like matrix algorithm programming or something like that. I would be able to, I would work for a firm, and they would pay me, and I would do my thing, and they would pay me for the things that I do, and I would be paid lots of money that I don't really want to show off about. So maybe I'll dig a hole and buy lots of weapons. I don't know. I'm just trying to put my mind in this person.
Right. The military's been doing it for years. What they have is almost a breeding program. That they recruit people who have ESP, extrasensory perception. They've been doing it since the 50s. So they target people who are either genuine human type people or hybridized hybrids who end up working in the military using their special skills. Well, over the last 35 to 40 years, the corporations have taken the place of government. And so the corporations now employ exactly the same sort of people as do the military, because they want those skills. But what you've described to me, having to be careful here, what you've described to me is an over and above that. It may or may not surprise the listeners to know that from time to time, exchange programs run on planet Earth. So we as a race are presented with specimen A, and specimen A is tracked and followed and guarded, and specimen A then has, you know, Harvard, Yale College all mapped out, and then they go and they are already going to work in this corporation, and it is part of a program of acceptance where that individual helps to answer some of the questions that the corporations have been stuck on for the last 5 or 10 years. And basically, the hybrid is here on holiday. So the hybrid needs downtime. And because the hybrid is in a semi-human body, it wants one thing, which is experiences. Because when you are a full alien, you don't have the same emotional need to experience. When you come into this reality, it's about touch. It's about looking at a rainbow and seeing how beautiful it is. It's about looking at a stallion galloping across the field and seeing how beautiful it is. These things most alien creatures don't understand. So when you get a hybridized person working for the corporations, they want the extreme. They want to be able to feel, smell, touch, and live an exhilarating lifestyle because it's new to them. So that's the best answer.
So it's like, okay, well, what can I do with this body? Right, oh, let's throw it off a cliff. Ah, I'm in a wingsuit. Yay! and it's a very kind of extreme experiences, because it's a bit like, you know, driving somebody else's car, isn't
there's
it?
There's one more thing to add to that. If you are truly enlightened, you know you cannot die. So your physical body can die, but what's in you doesn't die. And when you understand that, you have no fear of death. And so some of these beings will do things that most people would go, ooh, that's a bit dangerous, isn't it? But if you don't fear of death, why does it bother you?
That's a very important question, isn't it? Isn't that one of the biggest lessons of all of our spiritual teachers throughout history? Yeah, that death doesn't, you know, death is not the meaning that you should do things. Anyway, so here we go. This is a good question. It's from Nikki out there, from your group. Simon has said the war for consciousness in the UK will be an energetic, emotional war. How will this be fought? Well, there we go. Good
call. Hello, Nikki. Hi. That was nice to see you on Saturday. I've never wanted to push or advocate violent insurrection. It's going to come, but I'm not going to be the one that says, now we do it. I think that human consciousness will just be backed into a corner to the point that it won't be pushed around any further. It's rather like the Boston Tea Party, when the American people were not going to be pushed around by the British taxation system anymore, and something just snaps. But the energy war is a war that has been taking place for a very long time. I mean, the war between Atlantis and Lumeria wasn't just a physical war, it was like a cyber war. You know, there is a very interesting app that you can get legally, and it shows a map of the world, and it's in real time showing you where all the cyber attacks are coming from.
Ah, yes, the Viking.
Yep, and where it's going to. Now, that's energy. So in a 3D world, we are already attacking each other, I'm using that word loosely, energetically. And we're doing it for profit and money, of course, that's the point. And what I'm talking about is an energy war that is not about profit and money, it's about breaking free. It's about people deciding that they've had enough and they're not going to play the game anymore. And I use this analogy because it's important to the people of Britain, particularly so. Others will not know about it. A man called Jimmy Savile, who was one of the most evil, predatory people alive, who preyed on children. The word paedophile is a very recent word. But he was a very, very evil paedophile. And he'd been doing it for 50 years. Now, he did it for 50 years because he was protected and covered up. Now, why did that come out? It came out because human consciousness has evolved to such a point that it could no longer be hidden. And the governments around the world now are really struggling because it's harder and harder and harder for them to keep lies from the public. Human consciousness is evolving. And there's going to come a point in each country where something is positioned in law which is just too much. So at the moment in America, the law is on statute that every baby born in America must be immunized, and actually they want to chip them. And the law hasn't been enacted until, I think it's next fall, where no child in America will be allowed into a nursery or a playgroup unless they've been inoculated. And that's very dangerous. But the point I'm making is that these things are going to back parents or back people up against the wall. And in the end, people are going to say, no, I'm not doing it. So the energy war will be created when the governments overstep the mark. And in Great Britain, we saw it with our Prime Minister, Margaret Thatcher, who brought out a tax called the poll tax. And the population of Britain said no, and there was mass riots. And, of course, the government had to back down, and it cost the Prime Minister her job. So it happens. Precedent has been set. But we're talking about consciousness, not one particular policy. We're talking about people who are saying, I've had enough of this. We know it can be better. So I'm not talking about guns or bombs in the street. I'm talking about people working as a mass. I'd love 100,000 people just to sit down in the City of London and block all the traffic. You know, the police force of Great Britain is 100,000. That's the number of police officers in Britain. In the United States of America, it's around about 1 million. So if you had 100,000 people all sit down in central London, the police force couldn't do anything about it. What are they going to do? Bring out the army and shoot people? This is, in effect, where the energy war will come. But if the government, whoever it is, has got any brains, they'll start to make some changes, because we are on a collision course. Every major Western country and some Eastern countries are on a collision course with their own people, and they are doing everything they can to try and trick them or con them or control them, whether it's through energy waves or fluoride or goodness knows what. Ultimately, it's not working. People are resisting. So when I talk about an energy situation, I'm talking about heat that builds up when a spacecraft enters the Earth's atmosphere. I'm talking about a human spacecraft enters the Earth's atmosphere. It goes hot because there's friction between it and the atmosphere, and a resistance builds. There is a friction and a heat building between humanity and the 1% of the world that leads and controls that humanity. So that is the friction, that is what's going to happen. So I'm very confident, I'm sitting back and watching what will happen and ready to play my part, whatever that may be when the time comes.
Yeah, that's right. And I remember I was there at the poll tax march. Uh-huh. And one of the things...
you were the man with the cone.
I was the one with the drum.
Ah.
And I had a special drum. It was a talking drum, an African talk, the talking drum. And it was a very joyous conversation that I had until the weather changed. And then things started kicking in. I totally believe that they changed the weather. I sensed the vibration change that day. That moment, it was very joyous until we got about halfway through Trafalgar Square. And then a concerted effort that black horses started arriving, black troops, black policemen, and they drove the van through the crowd. They drove a van through a very densely packed crowd, about 10, 15 miles an hour, really, very aggressive. People started throwing bottles at the van, of course.
JP, when we talk about black policemen, of course, we're talking about the uniforms.
Sorry, yeah, not black horses.
We're not talking about the skin colour.
Or even made of black material, carbon fiber.
The black combat jackets.
Because, again, it goes back, because the policemen nowadays wear black and they don't wear blue.
Exactly, that's deliberate.
Yeah, go on. So the question is: there is the how? Yeah. So the energetic war is a kind of it's like a kind of psychic war. Your living room becomes Trafalgar Square. Your living room has its atmosphere changed by the powers that be in order to influence how your behavior is and what choices you're going to make. Now, it's the question is all about vibration. So how do we keep our vibration high enough to see what's going on without being... And I think you implied it earlier when you talked about, intellectually confused by the information that's coming at you from all sides. Are you getting where I'm going? How do people rise above that? What are the ways people can do that?
Yeah, they've got to connect with themselves. They have got to listen to themselves, what we loosely call the higher self, what I specifically refer to as the 10 strands of energy DNA. That's their higher self. So that is where the truth is. And they need to connect with other people. That's why I formed my Connecting Consciousness group, not just in my country, but in many of the countries. I'd like to have, representation in every country in the world. Because we get the truth to each other. We form a network. We pass the truth. We don't fall for the tricks and the traps that the system plays. And this is what we have to do. We have to form groups around ourselves that are secure, cannot be infiltrated by agents or disinformation. We keep it sovereign, and we only trust ultimately what we think is the right answer. And that way, it doesn't matter what they do, what they shower on us, what rubbish or lies they pump at us, it just doesn't go into us. So many spiritual and psychic people are no longer reading the newspaper, whether it's online or on hard copy. They're not watching the television. They are instinctively blocking out the system's ability to infiltrate them and give them false ideas. And this is a realization, and this is how people can begin to understand the truth. And the internet is the answer. Again, you have to discern what's there. But there is going to come a time when the elite will take the internet down. And that's why I want people to form those groups now, be as strong as you can, and believe in yourself. And I always say to people, look, ask advice from people you trust, but ultimately you must make the decision. So that's my philosophy.
So this is how we, and I think this is the way we evolve. We must be very careful not to get into groupthink. which is, you know, just because somebody in the group says something, then it's the truth. The group has to, everybody has to do their own filtering, and feel free to say, oh, no, I don't agree with that. I think, you know, let's see what Simon says. And it's funny, it's like, you know, you get this whole Simon Says thing. Anyway, it's, the next question is, all right, so first of all, there's Roman Russia is volunteering for Russian translation, so thank you very much. But I think the most important question is the question, how to meditate correctly. I want to speak to ETs, the creator, to higher me, to say, I want to feel this connection as a support too. So,
First of all, if someone's offering to translate into Russian, it's fantastic.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
That would be really good. I have a number of people who say to me, I want to meet ETs, or I want to do this, I want to do that. And I say that, you know, you can't do all of it at once. You have to choose what's the most important to you. And if you want to meet or communicate with ETs, why? What is it that you're seeking? What is it that you want? It is far better that somebody communicates with themselves and builds up a full understanding of who they are, and just through a divine process, which is not tainted by anything that, you know, a government or a corporation or an agency has done. So I would say that a form of meditation. Now, if you if you have a proportion of reptilian in you, it is very hard to meditate. People with either a reptilian soul or sizable reptilian energy find it very difficult to meditate, and there are different ways of meditating. I had a conversation with one of my clients only on Friday. We talked about this because she said to me, no, I just can't meditate. And I said, well, that's not surprising because your percentage of reptilian. So what one does, an alternative form of meditation, is to find a hobby. And I don't mean a hobby like stamp collecting or something that's made by people, but find something that's to do with the natural world. So for instance, you might want to photograph flowers and then find the name of them and form a catalogue. I don't mean pick the poor things and squash them in a book, because, you know, it's like these butterfly collectors. I just can't understand why you would see a beautiful butterfly and kill it and then stick it in a jar, because I've got that one now, but wasn't it happier when it was out there flying? Poor things only live for about 2 weeks. But anyway, back to the point. So it's not always meditation in the traditional sense of the word, sitting cross-legged with your hands out, isn't everyone's cup of tea. So you have to find another way to communicate with source, with the creational energy. So if you can connect with nature, because that was created by the same thing that created you, then you can form a bond with that, and a deep understanding. Excuse me. So, horses for courses, as we say in Britain. In other words, find what gives you peace and that serenity, and allows you to ask the questions that only you can ask and only you can answer. Again, if people sort of have a chat with me, then we can talk more about that. But ultimately, you can't talk to ETs and find out about yourself and do this and do that, because you are only an organic living creature on the outside, and your soul can want to do it, and that's why this person has written in and asked that. But the physical capabilities of your body aren't up to it. Your soul is energy and works at the speed of light and some more, but your physical body can only work at the speed of the chemical instructions and electrical information that passes to the muscles. So we can't do all those things, and it is better to aim for one topic and to choose that topic. Say, why do I want to do it? Is it because I think it'll be cool, or is it because it will advance me spiritually? So again, the individual needs to ask that question and go forward.
These are the important questions. How do we get to from this morass that we find ourselves to a positive outlook, a positive future? And so to the next question. Yeah, so there we go, Roman. Hope you are. Right, okay, hang on. Sorry, I've just so many different
Where's that husky dog of yours? You told me there was a husky dog there, and we've been nearly 2 hours, and I haven't heard it bark once.
He has been laying by my feet. Hello, Pip. Yeah, we're talking about you. Hello, come on, come say hello.
There's no dog there at all.
Yeah.
It's all in the mind.
Yeah, Jay. All right, hang on. Let me just make him jump up. The gravy bone. You want the gravy bone? He's been asleep. He must have been asleep, because he's all dozy.
There's no dog there.
There you go. Can you hear him crunching it?
No, that's you. You're eating.
I'm eating gravy bones, yeah. by the way, people who wonder what the dog looks like, if you look at my Wolf Spirit host, that's the dog, the dog's eyes, Pip. No, you've been asleep, haven't you, boy? Yeah, have you? Oh, he's actually settled down. I think it was coming here is a bit traumatic on the bus.
I'm sure.
He doesn't go on buses very much, so he's all tired out. Oh, look at you. Thank you. It's got that lovely look. Anyway, so yes, and where are we now? Let's get some more of these fantastic questions. The reason that there's so many different angles that you have so many different topics that people ask you. I'm trying to get a nice broad sweep of the topics that and maybe even go further than you have done on others. That's the best. The best thing is people. If you can find a topic that Simon hasn't spoken about, it's like jazz. What are the notes you don't hear? Play those. Anyway, okay, right. Now, there's been a few questions about Daddy, as you call him, and one of them is involved in the whole Blue Avian situation, which is that there's, I don't know, are you aware of the big Gonzalez went to meet the big Draco guy who said, "We're going to kill everybody if you don't let us all go," then stormed out of the room, followed by his insectoid cohorts. Have you heard that story yet?
No, I haven't heard that one. That's a new one for me.
All right, well, this is the latest from the Corey Good. So this is Gonzalez told Corey this, and Corey told David, and then David told us. So that's how it gets here. with all the, but this is one of the big memes, is that there's a big Draco guy who's hanging around and dictating things to everybody. But there was a question that kind of related personally to, I'm trying to try to kind of zoom it back to it. Because I wanted to, there's another one. Is he also who we know as Anu? Who do we know? Who is Daddy as far as we are mythologically concerned?
Right. Because I don't know the nature of the story, I'm not sure which Draconis this guy is referring to. There are more than one Draconis. So it may not be the king, the High Lord. It may be one of his sons or a representative of the family line. And just because he's there speaking doesn't mean it's the king. I referred to this creature as Daddy when I was little. I call him Dad now because I've grown up. And seems quite happy with that. The boss man may or may not be Anu. The boss man could be one of either what we would call Enki or Enli. Anu, if anybody researches or understands properly, spent very little time on this planet because he had an empire to maintain, and just like any true Machiavellian leader, knew that if he was going to be got rid of, it would be his sons who would do it. And so he gave his sons a project, several projects, a trillion, trillion, trillion light years away from him, so that they couldn't mass an army or mass a political movement within the royal court, and they would be stuck in a godforsaken place. Beautiful water world, but a godforsaken place off the beaten track, and they would be so busy doing what they were doing they wouldn't be able to plot to overthrow him. So we have to be careful that we are not necessarily thinking of this as Anu, but of one of the two sons, the legitimate sons. And as a result of that, unless I had a proper description of the particular Draconis, I wouldn't be able to tell you. You know, people say they all look the same. Well, they do, but there are some interesting distinctive features of the three leading members of that family. So Dad is appreciably taller than the two sons, and they live for a very long time, and they then reclone their body. So the soul is the same soul, but will be in a cloned body, so they'll just go on for a very long time. This is the same creature that is in the Vatican. It is the same creature or his representative that goes to see the Rothschilds. And there are a number of groups that he or his representative will visit maybe once or twice a year. So that's about all I can say, really, except that he is a very stern chap who doesn't have a sense of humour, who has very piercing eyes and can see into most creatures with the power of his mind and knows what people are thinking before they even know it themselves. So he's a very strong adversary or protagonist, because if you are trying to have a debate or hold any sort of talk to him, he will know immediately when you're lying. And that's why it's very difficult for people like the Rothschilds, because when they all sit round in their circle and then the representative arrives, they don't try and play games. They just make a report and then they shut up. And same in the Vatican. Although the Vatican, actually, some of the Jesuits in the Vatican are attempting to put pressure on Dad, because they want to try and engineer a more advantageous position for the Vatican in the next coming 5 or 10 years. And so they are looking for ways to manipulate Dad. So I can't really say much more because I haven't read that report, but it does sound very interesting. The only thing I would say is there's a bit of oddness here, is you reported that the Draconis said, "Let me go." I don't quite understand.
No. He said, let all the people, basically all the powers that be and all the minions, let them escape, or don't punish them, or there'll be consequences.
Right. So what you're talking about is, his workforce or those who have supported him. That doesn't make sense to me, because he wouldn't give a damn. I know Dad. He wouldn't give a damn. What he would worry about are certain bloodline families where he has family members who, through marriage or through genetic connections, and then he would just offer them an off-world alternative. He wouldn't be bothered about other people. He wouldn't care a damn about them. He just has no interest at all. So that doesn't ring true to me. This is a creature that would quite happily consign a whole planet to destruction and death, and without a blink of a littlest eye. So that does not make sense to me. What I think makes more sense to me, if he said, this is a list, for want of a better word, of those members that I want protected, and any deal I do with you means that this shortlist of people are protected. That makes a lot more sense.
So that's one way of knowing if they're dealing with Daddy. And another question is that Daddy was supposed to be, at some other point you said that Daddy threw Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden. And you've also said that you were Adam in a past life. Would you like to expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, you asked me at 20:51. We've only got 10 minutes left.
Maybe another webinar.
Well, you've asked a question, and if I don't answer it, then there'll be some people who think, I'll address
just a couple of nuggets.
Yes, the story in the Bible isn't too far from the truth in its general sense. But my memory, and I do have a memory, my memory is somewhat different. First of all, the Bible talks about one man and one woman. And I know for a fact that there were many, many males and females. It wasn't just a man and a woman. There was a whole tribe of people. And we have the interesting concept of the apple and the snake. And what I would ask people to try to understand is that Anu had two sons, one who was very loyal to him and foresaw that he would become the next ruler, and another son who was estranged from him and knew he wouldn't be a ruler, and so started to work against the plans and wishes of his father, because I think they were from different mothers. That's what I seem to remember. I think one was from Orion and one was from Cyrus or Sirius, but I can't remember which now because I just don't remember. But ultimately, the one that took the guise of the snake, in other words, the Roman Catholic Church tells us that the snake tempted Eve, that actually was that was the Draconis' son, who was the wonderful geneticist who altered genetics to allow Adam and Eve to make love, to procreate and make babies other than in a test tube. So that, and also informing, you see, couldn't talk to Adam because Adam wouldn't believe him. The only person that Adam believed was Eve. Eve was the only person who had the heart and mind of Adam. So only Eve could influence Adam. So this creature knew that. So therefore he had to give the information to Eve to give to Adam, because Adam wouldn't accept it from anyone else. And the information was that you have been created in a laboratory by this creature who you call your father. He isn't really your father. He isn't your father. He didn't create you. I created you in a test tube. And that meant that there was a showdown when Adam, supported by Eve, said to the creature that I call Dad, or Daddy when I was little, that you have lied to us. You're not like us. And Daddy's response was, who's given you this information? How do you know this? You know, who's told this? And that is why that particular son was then also cast out and was portrayed as the snake, because in the religious church line he was then the devil. He was the one that was working against the good God, and hence humanity was thrown out, because it had sussed the game. It had understood that it was being tricked and duped. And so isn't that what we're going through now? Isn't humanity now on the verge of understanding it's been tricked and duped? And, you know, it's time for humans to grow up and make their own future. So, yes, it's something that I could probably run a workshop on and talk much more about. So, yes, elements in the Bible are true, but they've been deliberately altered to push a particular religious line. So I hope that's helpful.
I think that was a very, very refreshing look on what went on. This begs the question: you would say you were one of the Adams, would you say? How would you characterize the Eves, and what has happened, and is there part of a race thing going on here, like Orions and Pleiadians, or Pleiadians and Lyrans, or something like that?
You have to understand the term bloodline. Bloodline is usually used with a reptilian connection. Eve will always have red hair and green eyes. Always. And there is a soul fragment that can be found in many people who could claim to have some connection with Adam or Eve or whoever else it might be. because that fragment, if activated in that individual, and I say activated in the sense that the person gets a memory of it, allows them to have a glimpse or an insight of a particular time. I mean, you know, you talk to people who were a factory worker in the Victorian times, or they were Marie Antoinette, or they were this wizard or this witch, and they have genuine past life experiences. And, you know, you can have that, or you can have a soul fragment from individuals. And providing you have access to that, then you have a link to it. The alien creatures refer to me as the Adam. They've always said that you are the Adam. I remember, as a 12-year-old boy, walking in an alien spacecraft and seeing lots of little greys, sort of Zeta Reticula type creatures, all lying on metal beds, and the lights flashing on these metal beds, and there was just thousands of them, literally thousands of them, and it's staggering just to see them all. It's like those, you see where motor cars come out of a factory and they store them in a field, and you see row upon row upon row upon motor cars, and it was like that. And I remember walking along, and I stopped to look at one of these creatures, and you know, you'd say they were sleeping, but I actually turned to the alien creature with me and said, they're learning. They're learning. And although I was only 12 years old, what I understood was these creatures were being programmed. So they were, they'd shut down because they had no soul in them. They were just robotic type creatures. So they'd shut down and they were being reprogrammed for the next task or the next day ahead. And the alien creature I was with was so impressed that I'd said they're learning rather than, oh, they're asleep. He said to me, the Adam is as wise as an owl. So they've always referred to me as the Adam. And there's a reason for that. So, yeah, I had to come to terms with some pretty strong memories and some pretty strong thoughts.
Wow.
But yes, it's a fascinating subject, which, yeah, could do a separate thing on, really.
Several. Yeah, that's a whole movie series. Simon Parkes, we're out of time. It's been fantastic again. So, would you like to tell people how to get hold of you? And I will run the.
Well, my web manager will be very unhappy if I push it, because we are really running on a shoestring. Uh-huh. And at the moment, there's just me and her and a couple of part-time volunteers, and we just, you know, people want to talk, they want to connect, yeah. We just do not have the capacity at the moment to open the doors and let people in. It's just, you know, and you just can't do it. So we are trying to get the website to a position where people can email us again. So just check back with the website. And once we've got a few more volunteers and we're a little bit more up and running, we're just a group of volunteers running on a shoestring. We're not a great big organization with teams of people, all the rest of it. And yet, you know, we connect so widely with people. And, you know, I see some of these horrible products for sale, and a great huge sales team, you know, hundreds of people all producing this god awful product, and here we are trying to raise people's consciousness, you, me and others, and we all do it in the back shed, basically. Yeah. So all I can say to people is just check in with the website, and once it's up and running, please drop us a line.
Thanks very much, Simon. Good night, everybody.